to In Plain Sight with Jeremy from Kentucky on your Friday night broadcast here on republicbroadcasting.org. Please go there, smash the donate button, send them a much needed fundage to keep free speech alive. You can mail your check or money order payable to RBN. Mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can call your debit or credit card number into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Also, we have the book drive going on. For every $100 that you donate, you will have a chance to be drawn in the contest to win a book from John Stadtmiller's library. So please get those donations in there. This is your Friday night health and wellness edition coming at you, and hoping that you all are having a healthy week and a healthy weekend as you prepare for Thanksgiving. I have a very interesting documentary here from Roger Schult, MD, SARS-CoV-2 Vax Protein Expression in Mice Causes Damage via Innate Immunity. I'm going to go ahead and give this a play and see what you think of this. We'll maybe do a little analysis on the other side of the break.
Coronavirus spike protein activated natural immune response, damaged heart muscle cells. Welcome to another MedCram COVID-19 update. That's the title of an article about brand new research that was presented at the American Heart Association but has not yet been published. We're going to talk about this research, which basically shows, number one, that the spike protein on heart muscle cells is directly toxic and that it doesn't need the ACE2 receptor to cause the damage in question. As you know, there's been a lot of talk about the cardiovascular complications of SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. Even in some of the vaccines, there's been some reports and studies showing inflammation of the heart tissue known as myocarditis. So as always, we are going to go ahead and put the links in the description below of all of these articles and studies that we're going to talk about. But let's get down to what these researchers actually did. So this study was performed at the Masonic Medical Research Institute in Utica, New York, and the lead author of the study and the assistant professor there was Dr. Ju Chung Lin. So what they did was they looked at a mouse model, and they wanted to infect mice in two different ways to show the difference between the spike protein and other coronavirus spike proteins, specifically the SARS-CoV-2 and another human coronavirus. Now, the first thing you need to understand is that mice cells have an ACE2 receptor, but it is completely different than the ACE2 receptor that we see in human beings. In fact, the ACE2 receptor in mice do not interact in any way with the spike protein on SARS-CoV-2. The next thing that they did was they took a viral vector. And let me explain a little bit of what a viral vector is. A viral vector is basically a way of delivering genetic information to the cell that you want to deliver it to, and that viral vector is able to infect that cell and to transmit that genetic material to the nucleus of the cell. In this case, they used the adeno-associated virus type 9. That's AAV9.
Tonight, in a spacious suite, everyone feels welcome. Tomorrow, the welcomes keep on coming. Whatever.
And if you want to know more about adeno-associated virus vectors, I point you to this research article that just came out in March of this year that's actually showing that it may actually be a way of getting the COVID-19 virus into cells to develop antibodies. And so if you want to understand more about how these virus vectors are used, which could give you some more information in terms of what we're about to talk about, I think this would be a great article, and we'll put that in the link below. So what we're doing here is we're setting up two different conditions. As you can see, we have a viral vector here on the left and a viral vector here on the right, and we're going to infect the same type of cells. The first thing that they did was they cloned the SARS-CoV-2 virus spike protein. Now, in the transcript presented at the American Heart Association, they did not specify which variant it was that they cloned. In other words, it could have been Omicron, it could have been Delta, could have been Alpha, Beta, P1, could have been the original. We don't know which spike protein they were referring to. Hopefully that will come out in the manuscript. And once they got that spike protein sequence, they then put it into the viral vector as a portion of the DNA. And they did the same thing with a human coronavirus. This is a virus that would give you a cold. It could give you some respiratory issues, but it would never cause any problems with your heart. HCoV-NL63. So they sequenced that spike protein and they included that DNA in the viral vector. So, of course, these viral vectors have spike proteins on their surface. And a key point to understand here is that the spike proteins, the viruses, actually interact with the ACE2 receptor on humans, but they don't interact with the ACE2 receptor in mice. So that's important to understand. Let me say that again. Both spike proteins are able to interact with the ACE2 receptor on human beings, but neither of these interact with the ACE2 receptor on the surface of heart cells in mice. So what happens is the viral vectors infect the cell of the mice, and the DNA goes into the nucleus where it becomes double-stranded, and then it starts to transcribe into messenger RNA. The messenger RNA then makes the spike proteins, and the spike proteins, of course, are put on the surface of the cells. And of course, just to be clear, I'm drawing a line here because these are two different events that are occurring, but I'm showing it as one here, and I'm just dividing this to show you that this is happening here on the left in one situation, and this is happening here on the right in a different situation. I want to reinforce here that the ACE2 enzyme in this particular mouse cell is not being deactivated. Nothing is happening to the ACE2 receptor here. The ACE2 receptor continues to function normally because, again, none of these spike proteins that you see anywhere on this page are interacting with the mouse ACE2 receptor. What happens next? What they found is that there were a number of proteins and inflammation that was occurring here with the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, but not with the HCoV-NL63 spike experiment on the right side. What they found was a number of proteins along with the spike protein over here on the left, specifically called the toll-like receptor 4. So what is the toll-like receptor for? It's a protein that is attached to natural killer cells that tells the natural killer cells that this is something that should not be there. It's part of the innate immune system. It does not require previous infection. This is something that innately the immune system knows should not be there and goes after it. In addition to all of these toll-like receptor 4s, there was a lot of inflammation and also enlargement of these cells. So the cells grew in size, became dysfunctional, and also became inflamed. And if you want to read more about toll-like receptors in natural killer cells and their application for immunotherapy, and some basic information about this, you can read here in this article, which we'll put a link to in the description below. But just to satisfy some of your curiosity here, you can see that cells involved in the innate immune system response were initially speculated to be non-specific eliminate microbes without presensitization. However, studies have reported that the innate immune cells recognize microbial-associated or pathogen-associated molecular patterns.
There are reasons you might need a new phone, but switching providers isn't one.
And that is exactly what is happening here on this side, but not happening in this experiment where there is a regular HCoV-NL63 spike protein, which means to say that there's something about the spike protein after it is created in the natural environment of the cardiac cell in mice here that causes a reaction that has nothing to do with shutting down the ACE2 receptor. Let me say that again. There is something about the spike protein specifically with SARS-CoV-2 that is not the same as the spike protein, which, by the way, hits the same receptor in human beings, the ACE2 receptor. Something different that does not cause inflammation here, but does over here. So there must be a protein or a pathogen-associated molecular pattern, or PAMP, that is triggering the response here on this side, but is not triggering the response here on this side. And again, because the ACE2 receptor in mice are different than those in humans, and because neither of these spike proteins affects the ACE2 receptor in mice, we cannot say that this is an ACE2-mediated inflammatory reaction. What the authors of this study don't know is whether or not it is spike protein that is bound to the surface of the cell or whether it is soluble proteins that are causing this reaction to occur. And that is going to be the source of more information shortly. The question is this the mechanism that's going on right now with myocarditis and inflammatory conditions of the heart in patients who get SARS-CoV-2? And could it also be some of the reasons why people who get vaccines get also inflammation of the heart? It's worth pointing out at this point that not everybody with SARS-CoV-2 gets inflammation of the heart muscle, and certainly not everybody who gets SARS-CoV-2 vaccine gets heart muscle inflammation. So the question is what is it that causes some people to get it and others not? Of course, there are differences in genetics. There's differences in environment. There may be differences in the amount of spike protein. There's also some question about the type of spike protein. We said here that the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein was sequenced and is the reason why we have this spike protein on this viral vector. We don't know which variant of SARS-CoV-2 it was. What about vaccine-derived spike protein? Well, as it turns out, the spike protein that is sequenced and put into the vaccines, specifically the Moderna, the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson, and the Novavax, are actually significantly different in a specific way from the spike protein in the SARS-CoV-2. Now, would that be enough to make a difference or not? Well, we don't know. That study has not been performed. For those of you who are regular MedCram listeners will know that the spike protein was specifically engineered in the vaccines to stay in the pre-fusion complex. That was work that was done by Jason McClellan out of the University of Texas in Austin. And his work was specifically used in the development of both mRNA vaccines, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and also the Novavax vaccine. And specifically, the purpose of that was to keep the spike protein fused in a specific conformation so that it would be more immunogenic in that conformation. The spike protein that we see on SARS-CoV-2 is not fused in that position, but rather is very wobbly and can go into many different types of positions. And if you're interested in learning more about that particular topic and actually hear a presentation by Jason McClellan and how he came about to discover this and what the techniques were, we'll put a link to the video where he describes exactly what he's doing. The other interesting thing about this is the fact that if you are going to get inflammation in the heart, it is the heart muscle cells themselves that need to make the spike protein. And for that to occur, you actually have to have viral particles getting to the heart. And that involves, of course, a viremia. That involves getting viral particles at high enough concentrations that they actually spill over into the blood. And of course, this is something that happens in people who get SARS-CoV-2 in a very serious way, where the virus is replicating in multiple places in the body and exponentially growing. There's been a question, of course, as to whether or not this is the same thing that is happening in those who are getting the vaccine. So vaccines that are entering into muscle cells in the arm, for instance, are they getting into the blood supply? And there's been a debate and a question about whether or not aspiration of the syringe is helpful in this situation to prevent the vaccine nanoparticles, specifically in the mRNA vaccines, from getting in to the blood supply. But what's interesting is that the particular types of patients who are getting myocarditis in the mRNA vaccines are those specifically young gentlemen who are getting it. And that would portend for us to believe that if people were going to get the injection into the blood, it should not be in people specifically who are younger, but it should be distributed evenly. So that sort of goes against that theory. The other aspect of this that is interesting is that notice that in this study, it's the innate immune system which is causing the inflammation. As we've said, the innate immune system does not require previous exposure. It understands that these pathogen-associated protein molecules are something that they know. It's innate to them. It would seem to me that you would see the reaction equally after the first or the second injection, Whereas the second injection, you're getting more of a adaptive immune response where you have antibodies that are now forming, and that would be more likely to cause the inflammation. So it's unclear as to whether or not this study answers all of those questions. I think it does bring up some very interesting points, but there's some definite work that still needs to be done as to say whether or not this particularly is the mechanism for why we are seeing myocarditis in some people who are getting vaccinations early on, especially those who are younger and those who are male. And of course, as we've said before, there has been no studies done on the spike protein that are derived from vaccines in this type of a setting. And I believe that that type of a study should be done because, as we've already mentioned, the vaccine spike is deliberately different than the SARS-CoV-2 spike. And this study was looking specifically at the SARS-CoV-2 spike.
Tonight, your body clock is 3 time zones ahead.
And that's interesting again, because when we look at the cells of the immune system, notice that the innate immune system is the immune system that gets weaker with age. So the innate immune system is going to be very powerful when you're young. And as we've talked about before, it makes things like, for instance, the natural killer cell, the monocytes, all of these things are involved with producing interferon, which is the body's way of protecting against viral infections very early on in the infection timeline. It's interesting to me because it's typically people who have had very serious infections are the ones more likely that are getting the cardiac complications of the virus. So it almost seems as though the innate immune system is being held off, not being allowed to work early on. But then as the immune system is suppressed, the virus then spreads, and it's only then later that the innate immune system is allowed to do what it needs to do. And this is not new. For those who have watched Meg Cram, they will know that we've talked about this before. You can see here in a letter that was written by Nancy Goh, she writes here, studies of SARS and MERS suggest that the interferon response is delayed compared with coronaviruses that cause mild disease, and with milder cases of these two coronaviruses that can cause severe disease, the patients with severe SARS or MERS had higher viral loads and delayed interferon responses. So let's just...
So I'll pause there. It seems like whatever the poison is that they're injecting in you affects your immune system. It's almost like they're giving you AIDS and causing your immune system to shut down. Similar to what AIDS patients face, where just the least little thing, like the common cold, could actually kill you. So whatever they're injecting you with, it is a poison, and it affects your immune system, and it adversely affects the hearts, the cardiovascular system of young people. That's the end of the first segment. I'll be back on the other side with the short segment of In Plain Sight.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop and lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be.
And we're back to In Plain Sight, Health and Wellness Edition on your Friday night broadcast. So we talked about what you should not do, which is take the deadly COVID vax, which has been giving young people myocarditis and could quite possibly destroy your immune system, similar to AIDS. I wanted to give you a positive thing to do here in this short segment, health and benefits and the sources of vitamin K. Vitamin K refers to a group of fat-soluble vitamins that play a role in blood clotting, bone metabolism, and regulating blood and calcium levels. The body needs vitamin K to produce prothrombin, a protein and clotting factor that is important in blood clotting and bone metabolism. People who use blood clot thinning medications such as warfarin or Coumadin should not start consuming additional vitamin K without first asking their doctor. Anyway, uses of vitamin K is found in plants when people eat it. There's green leafy plants such as like spinach and kale and parsley. Without vitamin K, the body cannot produce this prothrombin, a clotting factor that is necessary for blood clotting and bone metabolism. Benefits: bone health, cognitive health, heart health. Vitamin K may help keep blood pressure lower by preventing mineralization or minerals build up in the arteries. Also, sources. Where can you go to get vitamin K? Here are some food sources. 10 sprigs of parsley will contain at least 90 micrograms of vitamin K. A 3-ounce serving of natto contains 850. Half a cup of serving of frozen and boiled collard greens contains 530. 1 cup of raw spinach. All right. 1 tablespoon of soybean oil, which I do not recommend soybean oil at all. And half a cup of serving of grapes. 1 hard-boiled egg. Recipe tips. These healthy recipes have been developed by a registered dietitian. They can increase your vitamin K intake. Baked halibut with garlicky kale and toasted cashews. You could also do powdered up spinach lasagna. roasted Brussels sprouts with toasted pecans and avocado. Also spinach pesto salad. Dietary fat enhances the absorption of vitamin K. So a salad of green leaves drizzled in olive oil would both provide vitamin K and help the body absorb it. So the recipe for spinach pesto salad with farro, and farro is just some sort of a grain which substitutes for rice. Here's the recipe for it. 1 cup of farro, 1/4 cup of slivered almonds toasted, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of red onion diced, 2 cups of spinach, 1/8 cup of fresh basil chopped, 1 tablespoon of fresh lemon juice, and cracked black pepper seasoned to taste. Cook the farro until al dente. Set aside and let cook. Meanwhile, toast the almonds in a small skillet over low heat until lightly browned or aromatic. In a food processor, pulse 1 cup of the spinach with the lemon juice, olive oil, and almonds. Combine farro, pesto from food processor, red onion, and the remaining spinach in a large bowl. Divide into 3/4 portions. So you can use that recipe to get a nice farro spinach salad. I would also recommend for a quick, healthy dining out, boil you some potatoes. Just boil them in well water or distilled water and throw in some garlic herb spices with Tony's Creole seasoning and sweet cream butter. Don't get the margarine vegetable oil. Get the real butter, sweet cream butter, salted. You boil those potatoes till soft, season them. Also, chopped parsley. Get fresh chopped parsley and fresh carrots chopped. You boil that up and you make a nice potato stew with that fresh parsley in there to go with your spinach farro salad. If you absolutely must have meat with that, get some fresh chicken breast, baked preferably. If you fry the chicken breast, fry it in olive oil. And wash that down with some ice-cold well water from your local well source with fresh lemon squeezed in it. That's a great dinner. That's going to get you healthy and actually could help you lose weight if you you do that on a regular basis. We'll be back on the other side with more health and wellness tips on Implant Side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Jeremy from Kentucky on your Friday night health and wellness edition, just covering some news about the deadly vax from LifeSite. The media slowly starts talking about people getting sick from the vax. LifeSite News, in a sign of a potential shift in the mainstream media's coverage of the issue, NBC News has published a report acknowledging a possible link between COVID-19 vaccines and myocarditis. NBC's November 12th report opens with an anecdote about Detroit resident Davion Miller, who at age 22 passed out at his home and was later hospitalized and diagnosed with myocarditis and pericarditis 1 week after receiving his first dose of Pfizer's mRNA-based COVID shot. He was subsequently advised by his doctors not to receive his second. C is a common condition that has long been linked to a number of viral infections, including influenza, Coxsackie viruses, as well as COVID, according to the report. It has also been observed as an infrequent but worrisome side effect of the mRNA COVID vaccines. So then it goes on to say there have been about 1,000 reports of vaccine-related myocarditis or pericarditis in children under 18, primarily young males, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The U.S. federal government's Federal Vaccine Event Reporting System, or VAERS, gives a much higher number for overall myocarditis and pericarditis cases, 53,836 cases as of November 4th. And an April study out of Israel indicates that COVID infection alone cannot account for such cases, despite claims to the contrary. Reports submitted to VAERS about possible cases are not yet confirmed, as anyone could submit a report, but CDC researchers have acknowledged high verification rate of reports of myocarditis to VAERS after the mRNA-based COVID vaccination. So this leads to the conclusion that underreporting is more likely than overreporting. Indeed. Early findings requested by the FDA could be published starting next year, but meantime, FDA claims there's no evidence of increased risk of death following the mRNA vaccines compared to individuals who did not get vaccinated. And the report goes on and on and so on and so forth, talking about Operation Warp Speed and the like. The point is that these people, I mean, yeah, the media now is having to cover this. And Lifestyle News is one of the better ones because, you know, I quote them a lot. I go to that publication a lot when I want to know the latest on the right to life or the pro-death, pro-abortion movement and what's going on there. So Life News is covering it rather honestly, and I appreciate that of them, but too little too late, seriously. And the people that are pushing this vax are going to keep pushing it. They're going to, even though these reports are out in the media, just to accelerate people's cognitive dissonance, they're just not going to acknowledge it. They're just going to press on. Because once you've committed yourself to this vax, this COVID narrative, mask, Black Lives Matter, trannyism, once you've committed to that, there's no turning back. It's almost like, you're as part of the mass formation psychosis, you're just permanently brainwashed. And no matter what evidence is put in front of you, you're just going to go with it. Election hoax, the same thing. I have friends on Facebook that swear up and down that this was a legitimate defeat of the Republicans. There was no hoax. There was no hoaxing of the election. We're crazy. We're all kooks. We're conspiracy theorists. We're Alex Jones types. They're not going to give up on their narrative. It doesn't matter if election fraud is openly admitted to you by the media and evidence is presented. They're not going to give up on it. They're gone. They're too far gone. And unfortunately, people that have taken the vax, even one shot, are gone. And it's unfortunate because I know a lot of great people that have. Speaking of too far gone, you know, there's still a lot of people out here doing the mask thing. Not a lot where I'm at, depending on where you go. You go into some, you know, like a library or Walmart, you'll see a few people with masks on. Maybe certain restaurants. But overall, you know, in my area, it's not that bad. But people all over the U.S. and the world are still doing the mask thing. And I wanted to bring this up. I heard this on Chris Hinckley's show today. It was very fascinating that there's a study that was done by New England Journal of Medicine that basically is saying that mask policies in schools, not only do they contain COVID, but they believe that masking may be especially useful for mitigating the effects of structural racism in school. That's right, mitigating structural racism. Now, I've got this in the New York Post. This is one of the two articles that Chris quoted. So if you want to look it up, newyorkpost.com, that it's entitled Masks Reduce Racism. Study is latest in a sign that U.S. medical establishment is insanely, perilously woke. The new study from the New England Journal of Medicine purports to show that mask policies in schools work to contain COVID, but that's not all. The authors conclude that we believe that universal masking may be especially useful for mitigating the effects of structural racism in schools, including potential deepening of educational inequities. Educational inequities. So masks help fix structural racism. Why not? The new study will show that masking also fights climate change. Is that what's going to happen next? Well, I've got a little something on that. There's actually some disparaging articles that the climatologist and the COVIDologist, they don't want to read these articles about how that all of these disposed masks are making their way into the environment and causing a lot of pollution. But if you want to talk to a climatologist or a climate change advocate, person, activist, they'll tell you that the lockdowns decrease carbon emissions. Now, I'm going to cover that next, but let's get back to the mask thing because this is all part of what I was talking to you about, what many others like Anglin and some of the hosts on this network were telling you, is that it's not just going to stop with the supposed COVID-19. No, we have to let the governments of the world and the corporations of the world completely put their knee on our neck in the name of racism, prevention, and climate change. And they've woven it all together nicely. And if you know, to the analytical mind, I mean, you can find all sorts of flaws in this narrative, such as what I just mentioned, that on the one hand, masks have hurt the climate, hurt the environment, but then they'll turn around, they won't focus on that, and they'll turn around and say, oh, look at these lockdowns and how they've brought down carbon emissions. Isn't that good for, my climate? But anyway, I want to get back to this mask article because this is very interesting. Experts told us that gathering in crowds wasn't okay in the spring of 2020, but just weeks later, protesting for Black Lives Matter somehow was. Remember that? That's what really got me fired up, when they're trying to make us social distance and close schools and restaurants and churches. But yet, after George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose combined with meth and many other drugs after resisting arrest, when he died from that, you had all these black rioters in the name of Black Lives Matter, and a lot of white college girls leading the way, quite honestly. They were all coming together en masse with no restrictions. And what was the official narrative of the government and corporations? Well, this is okay. This is allowed because preventing racism is really the most important thing, and we can sacrifice a little bit of safety for that. So you see how this is all woven together. The COVID supposed virus narrative, the Black Lives Matter, prevent racism narrative, and then the climate change narrative. All of these being woven into one main narrative of the governments and corporations have the right to completely come down on you in total tyranny in the name of these three movements. All right. So back to this article from the New York Post. As this study says specifically, it does not prove what the authors intended to. Let's just see the latest push by the agenda-driven scientists and the media who love them to get people back in masks. The study centers on two Massachusetts school districts that did not remove their mask mandates as soon as the state allowed them to in March of 22. But they kept them until June. A few months later, they saw slightly lower COVID rates than the other district. It's amazing that COVID could lay in wait like that, ready to punish those who behaved badly months earlier. What's even more startling is that COVID rates in all the schools were higher before anyone took off their masks. But that uncomfortable fact goes unmentioned in the write-up. Plus, the study does not look at actual mask use, just the mandates, nor does it account for any differences in behavior, income level, lifestyles, and so on, which also means that it cannot show a thing about masks and structural racism, whatever structural racism is anyway. Getting on down here to the crux of the article. A so-called natural experiment was breathlessly concluding. The bottom line is that masking mandates were linked with reduced numbers of COVID. That's what the study is proving here. And on to the racial things. So here's the crux of the so-called medical study, is that they claim that Black, Latinx, and Indigenous children and adolescents are more likely to have severe COVID-19, which justifies mandates. Remember hearing that back in the day, that a couple of years ago, hey, you got to wear your mask and social distance. If you don't adhere to COVID measures, you could be racist because people that are brown are more likely to get COVID. Well, I mean, if you believe in the virus thing, or whether you do or don't, people that are brown have less vitamin D, because unless they're right on the equator, they're not absorbing it the way that white people do. So yeah, they're going to get sick easier. And so they're trying to push it as well. If you don't adhere to the COVID measures, you're racist. Anyway, there are very many more disqualifying issues with their conclusions, but that didn't stop the New York Times from giving it a positive coverage, while ignoring that others' studies show the opposite. So while it might not seem important, school administrators who read the Times now believe misinformation. Anyway, like I said, that's what they're saying, is that to to not doing the mask in schools help prevent racism, which was crazy. Why? Because brown people get COVID easier. So there was a related study in a related article, not a study, but an article. A New York professor claims that those who don't want to wear a mask in her class are racist. And again, some of these we covered back in the day when it was going down, but it's interesting to take a little retrospect on this. Even though nearly every jurisdiction in the United States has ended mandates, there are legions of people desperate to maintain the disproven function of universal masking. Mountains of data have accumulated over the past several years showing that masks have been ineffective at preventing the spread of COVID, whatever that is. Yet some are committed to avoiding admitting that the leaders of the political ideology have been wrong. Again, this is something I covered in the last article. People don't want to admit they're when they're wrong. They've invested 100% in this. They've lost friends over it. And they're not about to go back. They'll double and triple down no matter what. So there's an example of this. Professor Jessica Nydia, who is described on LinkedIn as a Latina feminist, she announced on Twitter that she will be enforcing mask mandates in her classroom. So this is a college, even though the school she teaches at no longer requires them, and is even building mask wearing into her syllabus. So this bitch is, the entire school is not mandating masks, but if you go into her classroom, you're going to have to wear one. And she's putting it in her syllabus. How about that? Libs of TikTok, Twitter announces, professor says she will require masks, even though university policy is mask optional. Then she accuses students who don't want the masks of being racist. Wow. She also claims in the syllabus that refusing to mask indoors is a manifestation of albinism and racism, an exercise of individual privileges that tells the most vulnerable that their health does not matter. How many times did you hear that? Oh, you don't want to wear the mask? You don't care about grandma dying from the cold in the nursing home, do you? Oh, you care? You don't want to wreck the economy over this? Well, you care more about big line stock market than you do granddad that's dying in the nursing home that could die if you don't wear your mask or get your jab. That was all throughout. That was all throughout the whole COVID hoax. And here you have people not willing to let it go, doubling and tripling down on it. And it really is pathetic. It really speaks to the mass formation psychosis and how that these people that are our enemies, they are our vile enemies, and we fight them politically now. But you know what? We're going to end up physically having to combat this one day. When the structure comes down on us, when the power structure comes down, we will have to defend ourselves. But it's these people that will never give up. And you know, if the system crashes down on us, if every time that some, Trump supporter, January 6th person is, arrested, or anytime they hear about them rotting in jail under horrible conditions and getting beat up, you know what these people say? People like this female professor that requires masks, they say, well, they deserve it. They deserve it because they're fascist, racist, misogynist. And we are their enemies. They want to destroy us. They want to do violence against us. And right now, we're the passive ones. We're speaking out politically. But there will come a day when that's going to change. I don't know when that is. The Lord God will let me know. But when it happens, it's going to be all on. All on like Donkey Kong. Hey, we're at the end of this segment. Back for the final segment with some Johann Sebastian Bach, that is, to finish out your Friday evening on In Plain Sight. Y'all stay classy.
Hanging with my wilder friends, looking for some other way to fly. And 3 days straight was no big feat to get by on no food or sleep. And crazy was becoming my new norm. I'd pass out on the bedroom floor, sleep right through the calm before the storm.
you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Thank you. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.